Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Actions speak louder than words. Talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. These are just a few of what I'm sure are many other similar sayings that all make the same point, that what really counts is not what you say, but what you do. And from the words that we've seen in our gospel reading and also in the second lesson from 1 John chapter 3, it would seem that God agrees with these sentiments. We heard in the second lesson God say through the Apostle John, "Let us love not only with word or with our tongue, but also in action and truth." And Jesus himself says in our gospel reading, "If you love me, hold on to my commands." And again he says, "The one who has my commands and holds on to them is the one who loves me." Now, it shouldn't really surprise us that God says that he wants our actions to match with our words, with what we say in our relationship to him. We would expect no less from our own human relationships, our interpersonal relationships. For example, if you say that you're my friend, but then you go and say all kinds of hurtful things about me behind my back, and perhaps you tell other people the secrets that I had confided in you, well, then if you did those things, I would really doubt your words when you tell me that you are my friend. I would be very hurt. And if I have sinned against you and hurt you, and I apologize and I tell you that I won't do it again, but then I sin against you again and again and again in the same way that I said I wouldn't do, you'd really doubt the sincerity of my apology to you and my friendship, my expression of friendship to you. You'd be very hurt. And now think about our relationship with God. Usually in our human relationships, we can keep some level of control over our actions so that we are not repeatedly hurting our friends and loved ones. But in our relationship with God, God who demands that we love him above all things, and that we demonstrate that love for him by perfect obedience to all of his commands all of the time, when we think about that and we look back on the track record of our lives, of not only our actions but also our words and our thoughts in relationship to God and to his will, when we look at that record of ours, then we can only despair. When we realize how miserably we have failed to show our love for God in the way that he desires by obedience to his commands. We look at our lives and we see all those sins of weakness that we have committed after we have struggled and fought against a particular temptation, but then finally we give in to that temptation in weakness. But we also see the times when there has not really been very much of a struggle at all, but we simply dive in head first to that temptation, into that sin, and we revel in it. Think about how God feels at those times. Probably much the same as you would feel if you had your arms wide open for a hug from your good friend, and instead your friend punches you in the face. God expects love from us because of the loving way that he has treated us, because of the self-sacrificial way that he has loved us. But so often, instead, in our lives, what we give him is not love, but injury and insult. Jesus says, "If you love me, hold on to my commands." And as we think about these things in our lives, these sins of ours, causes us to feel shame. And so we might think to God, "Lord, I love you, but so often in my life, in my actions and in my thoughts and my words, I don't show that love for you. I'm so ashamed, God. I do not deserve to be called your child. You should cast me away from your presence forever because of the way that I have acted in my relationship with you. But God replies to us. He says, nonsense. You are my child. I love you dearly. You have never done anything wrong. See, I have your record right here to prove it. Your record is absolutely clean. In fact, it's better than clean. Your record shows that you have perfectly obeyed all of my commands all of the time. What? How can that be? We reply, I know my sins all too well. I'm confessing them to you, God. I feel the guilt of my sins weighing heavily on me as a heavy burden every day. I'm ashamed to admit it, but surely, God, your record must be mistaken. And then comes the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, whom Jesus mentions in our gospel reading. And he steps forward and he says, dear child, don't argue. The record is correct. Jesus has died for you to clear the record of your sins. And he has given you his perfect obedience to count on your record in your favor. That is what is recorded there for you. And then the first counselor, Jesus, steps forward and he says to us, don't you remember my words to you? Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I have risen. You saw me die on the cross. You heard the testimony of those who saw me die there and buried in the tomb. But I won the victory over death. And because I live, you also will live. I was forsaken by my Father, so that you will never be forsaken by him. You will live forever, because you are in me and I am in you. Who can begin to fathom, to fully understand these amazing truths, these amazing promises of God to us? Jesus says, you are in me and I am in you. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. The Son of God himself is living within us. The Apostle Paul writes more about this in Galatians chapters 3 and 4. He says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Indeed, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to shout, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then you are also an heir of God through Christ. There's a very important point here. It might sound strange to the ladies or girls to hear that you are sons of God. But that was a very important concept in the time that these words were written 2,000 years ago. Because by and large, it was only the sons who were eligible to receive a share of the inheritance from their father. And so whether we Christians are male or female, we are all sons of God in this sense. We are all people who share in the inheritance of the Father. We are all heirs, together with Jesus, of eternal life with God in heaven. As he said, because he lives, we also will live. And not only are we in Christ and he in us, but Jesus also says that the Holy Spirit also lives in our hearts. Jesus promised in our reading, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth. He stays with you and will be in you. What a wonderful promise this is. The Spirit of Truth is with us forever. He lives within us. And so when we have worries in our lives, when we face serious troubles and hardships, when our loved ones are in serious trouble. When we listen to the lies of the devil, when we feel like the guilt of our sins is just too great for God to possibly forgive, then the Spirit of truth gives us the counsel, the advice, the care, the comfort that we really need. He preaches the truth of God's word directly to our hearts. He gives us the comfort and the assurance of knowing for certain that all of our sins have truly been forgiven. And he also gives us the power and the encouragement for living in a way that shows our love to God. If we were just to dwell on and mull over our past track record of how well, how poorly, actually, we have obeyed God's commands, we could so very easily despair and give up and think that it's just hopeless for us to even try to obey because we know that we will certainly always fail. But the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, reminds us that we are God's dearly loved children. The Counselor reminds us that He is with us, that He is in us forever. In the times when we need it, He will give us the motivation and the power from God's word so that we can fight against temptation, so that we can instead show our love for God by obeying His commandments. As we read and as we ponder these wonderful promises that Jesus gives us in the gospel reading today, let's not be mistaken and think that God's love for us depends on our love for Him, on how well we have obeyed His commands, and if we haven't quite measured up, then God won't love us as much. That's not the truth. Rather, the truth is that because of Jesus, God loves us with an eternal, with an unconditional love. A love that nothing can separate us from. And it is this love from God that gives us the power to show our love for Him in response by living for Him, by offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God as our spiritual act of worship. Let's meditate on these precious truths of God's love for us. Not only right now as we spend this hour of worship and meditation on God's word, but constantly as we live our lives. Remember that Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are in Christ. And as He promised, because He lives, we also will live forever. The Holy Spirit is with us forever, living within us. And He reminds us of all of these truths of God's love for us. We are loved by God because of Jesus our Savior. As we remember these truths, the obedience that God desires from us will just naturally come forth in our lives. We want to show our love for God because He has shown such great love for us. Amen.